Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, August 14th. It's time for another conversation, a couple of conversations today on Faith and Family. A lot of people are going back to school this week. Some youth, before they go back to school, some young people are getting in on a great opportunity. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We've talked before about the Lutheran Youth Corps summer experience for students in high school or just right out of high school. We've talked about that as the pilot event for Lutheran Youth Corps. We're going to check in with them as that's going on this week. So we're going to check in with the Reverend Steve Shave, Director of Urban and Inner City Mission, who's on site today with Lutheran Youth Corps. And we'll also hear from one of the college students, one of the proctors, who's also serving on Lutheran Youth Corps this week as well. Hope you can join us for that conversation. During the second segment, we're going to talk with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services Richmond Terrace right here in St. Louis about benevolent care. Ever been concerned about you or your loved ones outliving your resources, but yet still want to live in community or use those the services that you would need in those latter days, in those in your older years? What happens when you outlive your resources? We're going to talk about benevolent care with Catrice Spink from Lutheran Senior Services coming up in just a little while as well during the second half of the program. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section. There you're going to find the CUW logo, Concordia University, Wisconsin. Go check it out and find out where they're located, all the programs they have to offer. And don't let the name deceive you. Just because it's Concordia University, Wisconsin, that's where their main campus is. But they are located all over the place. So you can find out more at kfuo.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone today, the Reverend Stephen Shave. He's the Director of Urban and Inner City Mission, reporting live from the First Lutheran Youth Corps in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Pastor Shave.
Hey, good morning, Andy.
Thanks so much for taking some time to step away from all the activity and work there going on with Lutheran Youth Corps to give us an update as to how things are going today. Tell us about the work of Lutheran Youth Corps, this initial summer week-long event in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. What are some of the things, who's there, and what's going on?
Okay, yeah, sure. This is kind of the exploration for our LCMS youth department to discover the viability of putting together urban mission such as this that would be obviously for a longer extended period of time, but can we give at least a taste and a glimpse for some of our youth into what urban mission would look like? And so we started initially on Monday with just some team building and getting to know one another, started in with some instruction as to what is this theology of mercy, how it connects to what the work of the church is. On Tuesday, we had Carlos Hernandez with us. Reverend Hernandez gave some training and instruction on doing the gospel seeds process. And so every day was kind of building the youth up and worship and then instruction and then giving them an opportunity to go and serve in the community. And I was just amazed on Tuesday to watch all of our youth just get right in there, go out into the neighborhoods, meet with folks, show love to their neighbor, hand out muffins and lemonade. It didn't matter. Whatever they were asked to do, they jumped right in. And they're just, obviously, we have a really good group of person people because they had no problem getting to know our neighbors quickly and to find out what were the community needs and how the church can help. And then part of that also is for some of us to go and meet with some of the agencies in the local neighborhoods to find out more of what the needs are and how the church can respond to that as well. And then Wednesday, we had a chance yesterday for some instruction on disaster response, and the Reverend Ross Johnson came and gave some instruction in terms of dealing with grief and disaster and how we offer hope and help to those suffering in some dire consequences. And so he did a fine job with that as well. And we also had an opportunity then for the used to get out there right there in the campus of the church to help with some beautification projects and also to meet the neighbors and again to support and to help our neighbors in their bodily needs and care. So they did another fantastic job yesterday as well, serving the neighbor with Christ's love. And today we're on location at the moment. We're at a women's shelter, and at this shelter, it obviously Now that we're downtown, you see some more extreme needs than in maybe Northeast Philly where we're serving. Now we see some more extreme needs when it comes to poverty and serving those. And so we're helping with some of the women that are here at the shelter, and the youth are having a chance to play some games and have activities with the young children. And again, jumped right into it. They're having a blast, and I hope they have a great experience. And then from here, we're going to go into some public parks where we know that there will be extreme poverty, and we're going to serve some of the homeless in the community here in downtown Philadelphia. And it's a joy to be able to serve these honored guests of ours that are in this community that are suffering and need hope, and to hear this great witness. So the tagline has been Life Together Through Witness and Outreach. We've seen these youth come together quickly in their life together with one another to receive this instruction, to receive the Word of God in worship, and then to go out and to be a phenomenal witness and to show so much mercy to those who so desperately need it. So they do all this hard work up to this point, and then tomorrow we give them a little bit of a break. They'll get to see, you know, for some of them, they've never seen a city such as Philadelphia with all of its rich heritage, so they'll get to see some of that as well and how it connects to the church and community. And then on Saturday, they're having a street fest, a block party, so the church is going to host a booth, and our youth will be there to just get to meet the neighbors, have games and prizes, and again, just an opportunity to build up one of our urban missions and to give all of these youth a real hands-on experience and just a taste of what urban mission is.
It really sounds like there's a lot of learning, a lot of serving all happening this week, and certainly around what an urban mission is. How is this experience beneficial, do you think, to these young people when they go back home? How do you think they'll do with this? Obviously, just from what you've shared, they're certainly doing a lot of serving right there in the neighborhood, and it's benefiting the people they're serving. What do you think the young people will take with them when they go back home?
First thing I think they'll take with them is their eyes have been open to realize that there is this domestic mission that's right here. We don't have to even leave our borders. We sent them into a neighborhood, Andy, that had 40 different languages that were represented, and they got to find out about how the church plays such a vital role in bringing peace. And for a lot of them, they don't know anyone. Some of them are very skeptical of the church. Some of them feel this division among the different culture groups. And, you know, this is what urban mission is. It's anchored in our altar and our pulpit and our font. And then we go out into the community to show God's love and His mercy and to be a witness as well. And so I hope that this has just been a very eye-opening experience for them to realize we have domestic mission, we have international mission, multi-ethnic with so many different people groups, extreme poverty. The needs are so great, and the church has this wonderful mission field that is just ripe for the harvest. And they'll go back with this excitement, and they'll say to their church, if it's in the suburbs or if it's in the rural area, you know, I want to be a part of mission right here, and I want to pray, and I want to give, and I want to go, and I want to serve. And here we have this wonderful opportunity, and it was just such a rich experience that, you know, we think we'd like to continue to see our church involved with this.
Tell me about the young people who are there this week that you get to work with. Where are they from? What have you gotten to know about them?
Well, all around the nation. I mean, we have youth that are from the Midwest, from Texas, from Florida. So you have a very diverse group of youth that have had different experiences. They live in very different places. For some of them, this is the first time as we drove in downtown that they've seen a skyscraper. You know, they might even feel a little claustrophobic. They've never been in the inner city before. So it's been a very diverse group of youth, but again, just a wonderful experience to see them all come together to be the body of Christ in this place, to support this church, to fall in love with the members and the people who have cared for us, and also to be just such a great witness in the neighborhoods around them. So very, like I said, diverse group of youth pretty much coming towards the end of high school and into the beginning of college, and yet they've kind of banded together to be this little army that we've sent out into the city.
Tell us about your experience. What's been your favorite thing this week? What have you gained the most from this? As the director of Urban and Inner City Michigan for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I think I saw a picture on Facebook of you drinking something that did not look like you should be drinking it, but it was like
what?
A green smoothie or something like that.
It
looked
that
it looked dangerous, like something that no one on earth should drink. It was like it was
weird,
far
yeah.
too green.
I know, and my wife already told me I'm having too much fun. And that is true. It is true. You know, what a joy to actually enjoy what you do, and it's certainly been a joy. We've had fun. We've goofed around and drank nasty swamp-looking things. You know, that's just. And my wife will tell you too. If you dare me, you know. You know, just assumes I'm going to do something dangerous or crazy when I go on a mission trip. But but bottom line, the thing that sticks out the most, Andy, is just I'm so proud of our youth and our synod. Such well-catechized young men and women, such a desire to want to be missionaries, such compassion for people that are in need, and no hesitation whatsoever to go and to serve their neighbor. And I've had an opportunity to teach and to instruct about the theology of mercy and how we care for those who the world has marginalized and perhaps written off, and yet for us as Lutherans, we understand full well that these folks that we serve are the apple of God's eye, that He truly loves them and He cares for them, and He does that through His church, and they have not hesitated for a moment to go and to serve. It doesn't matter if it was grunt work. It doesn't matter if it was to meet people and hand out muffins at the bus stop. I mean, whatever it was, they've just had fun. They've done it together. And I'm just so proud to see what a great group of youth and how eager they are to be about the mission of the church and to understand that its core and center is at that church gathered there at that altar, and then from that flows all the rest.
Wonderful. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to check in with one of the young people that's serving there as well. Looking forward to talking with Tali Albert here in just a few minutes. Steve, thanks so much for taking time to talk with us. The Reverend Steve Shave, Director of Urban and Inner City Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you, Andy. God bless.
God's blessings to you as well. Stick around for more Faith and Family. We've got more conversation coming up right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I know this will come as a shock to you, but some pro-abortion activists and politicians demonstrate hypocrisy. Tina Kern and her husband regularly and admittedly hold signs mocking prayerful pro-lifers reaching out to women who go into abortion mills. She believes life is sacred so long as it's not human life. She refuses to eat meat and organizes an annual fundraiser to help a no-kill cat shelter. Nancy Pelosi recently spoke out on behalf of illegal alien children, saying, "Let us not turn away from his children," meaning Jesus. She added, "The Bible tells us about the dignity and worth of every person." Yet, she told reporters, late-term abortion is sacred ground. So Tina and Ms. Pelosi, God wants us to prioritize human life above all others.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, August 14th, and we are talking with some of the folks involved with the first Lutheran Youth Corps. It's a summer Lutheran Youth Corps in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Joining me by phone today, Telly Elbert. She's a proctor at Lutheran Youth Corps. Good morning, Telly.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking some time out of the schedule there. I know you guys are busy today, so I appreciate you stepping aside and giving us some time to talk about what's going on at Lutheran Youth Corps. Telly, tell us about yourself. You are a college student, correct?
Yes, I'm a junior, and I go to Concordia University in Nebraska, the Wright Concordia. No, I'm just kidding. A couple of us here, we go to different Concordias, and we have a fun, very, very loving rivalry. I'm a junior. I'm in the secondary education program with biology and Spanish endorsements, and I'm getting my Lutheran teacher's diploma so I can work in the church and the private school areas. So
it's very good.
I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico at the moment. My dad's an LCMS chaplain stationed at Kirtland Air Force Base. So moving around is my thing, I guess you can say.
So how did you get connected with Lutheran Youth Corps?
One of our student administrators back at Concordia, actually, who works in the student life office, she contacted me via email. She knows Pastor Steve Cholak, who originally was going to get the Lutheran Youth Corps, kind of get it started. But she also knows Pastor Kieslowski, who works with Philadelphia Youth Ministries here in town. And so she contacted me and said, hey, we have this opportunity for a student to go and help. And kind of, she described it as being like an RA, I guess you can say, to, yeah, that's kind of what it is. To 12, we have 11 youth participants total, and then including the two proctors, so we make a wonderful total of 13, plus all the old, no, I'm just kidding, the adults. So it's a fun group. It's a fun bunch. We all fit in a lovely 15-passenger van that Reverend Mark Kiesling drives very well in the tight, tiny streets. Just going around. That's kind of how I got involved, and they've been so gracious and so hospitable, and it's been wonderful.
Well, describe the work of a proctor at this event. You mentioned it's kind of comparable to an RA. You get to know the students who are there this week, right?
Yes. A lot of our students, we have a few who are going into their senior year of high school. We have a few who have just graduated and they're headed off to college themselves, have already made the choices. And we actually have a couple who just finished their freshman year of college. So we kind of have that age area of, you know, still in high school, post high school, you know, going into college, figuring out what they want to do with their life. And this role as a proctor is definitely, I would consider it more of like an RA kind of. Pastor Shea was saying, you're the mother hen. Make sure, you know, we're there. Matt and I are there to help in any way whatsoever with leadership positions, so the youth can focus, you know, as best as they can, and we can kind of be there to give that young adult perspective, I guess you can say, since we have had a couple years under our belt as college students and what it's like to live out our faith now in the college setting of life, I guess you can say, as we're growing up and we're no longer under our parents' roofs, and definitely that kind of leadership and hopefully role model role.
Pastor Shave shared with us some of the things that you all have been doing this week in Lutheran Youth Corps.
Yeah.
As a proctor and getting to be involved in these and seeing other students do the various activities, learning and serving, what have you seen? What have you witnessed? What have you observed? And what have you enjoyed about this week? Some of the stories are examples of things that have been happening there at Lutheran Youth Corps this week.
Oh my goodness, there's so much. I keep telling myself, Pastor Shave said it so perfectly. It's been such a blessing because not only have the participants been able to get their hands dirty, I guess you can say, and get right into the work, but as adults and as the proctors, we've been able to do the same work with them. And it's been so eye-opening. Like, I really would explain this whole experience as very eye-opening and enlightening on how we share our faith and how we share the gospel through love and through ministry and through mercy. Some stories. So I know you've heard, because I heard it since too, but I know you've heard some of the events that we've already done. I've definitely been learning, it's not just been a learning experience for the participants, but it's been a learning experience for me as I can move out in service and in leadership, as we've had talks from, you know, Reverend Carlos Hernandez with Gospel Seeds and talks with Reverend Ross Johnson and with Disaster Response, just very eye-opening to see how the body of Christ comes together. And I know, as Pastor Steve kind of hit it, we are a very diverse group. I have 8 girls. 2 of them are from Texas, 1's from North Dakota, 1's from New Hampshire, another one's 2 are from St. Louis. We are we're all over. But to see how we all come together as the body of Christ and are so willing to work and serve has absolutely, honestly blown my mind. Because even though we're all different, we all have our, yes, we're all people, I guess you can say. But at the same time, like, we do have different personalities, and to see how those are so compatible with each other. One of the biggest days, I guess you can say, for me so far has been when we went out, we were doing residential interviews with Gospel Seeds, and going and knocking on doors, and that eye-opening experience of Philadelphia is a very diverse city. Several doors we would knock on, we'd get an answer, and they're like, "We don't speak English. We speak Chinese." I'm like, "Oh, I don't know Chinese. I will bow to you and then turn the other way." Which is just, but seeing how we can serve in the midst of those language barriers. Some of our students do speak different languages, and to see how people are very shocked and receptive as soon as they hear their own language coming from other people's lips. It kind of reminded me of Pentecost almost, except I'm not fluent like Peter and all. The Holy Spirit hasn't gotten that strong with me yet, I guess. No, I'm just kidding. But one of the most powerful stories that hit me is when we were doing residential interviews, one of the ladies opened up the door and we were saying, "Hi, we're with Shepherd of the City in Philadelphia. We just had a quick question for you. Like, what do you think is the most critical need of the community?" And she, you know, those moments when you're very distressed, you're very upset, she just, like, broke down and pretty much started pouring out her life story. Like, "This is just what happened to me last night." And the guy I was with, Rob, he was one of our youth participants. We were like, "Oh, goodness, what do we do?" You know, this lady who's completely in distress. But learning the power of prayer, I would say, was huge for both of us, because there's just some instances in serving that we don't have the word to say, but the Holy Spirit definitely speaks through us. And I just asked her, I was like, "Would you mind if I pray with you?" And I didn't know her faith background. I didn't really know much about it, but just asking her, "Would you mind if I pray with you?" And she said, yes. It just hurt me to see that there's people who are dealing with such huge life struggles. And I feel like our youth, and myself included, I've been very sheltered in what is going on in our urban communities. And so I think it's so important for our youth to see that and to see how people are hurting. And some people think that God have abandoned them, and how important that message of mercy is for them to know that God does love them and God has not abandoned them and God forgives them and God is accepting, and he thinks that they are worthy. And like Pastor Shea was saying, they're the apple of his eye and they're fearfully and wonderfully made in his image. That is the message that these people need to hear, and that's what we're doing this week. I mean, besides residential interviews, we've been going out on the streets just doing simple service opportunities as picking up trash. We had a lady, a few of the girls and I were picking up trash yesterday. A lot of people stopped. "Thank you so much. God bless you." We had one lady, though, as we're picking up trash, she was walking with her kid, and she said, "See, they're happy, and they're picking up garbage." You know, just to see that we don't even need to be, you know, shouting fire and brimstone law or whatever. People see Christ through our actions, and I think that's important for the youth to realize as well, is that we see Christ in others, and others can see Christ in us. And it's been so, so eye-opening. I left to come talk with you. I had a few little girls who were playing beautician with my hair, like pulling out, "Can we do your hair? I know this many stuff," you know, these children, even the children are hungry for that love. And it's almost heartbreaking that they aren't getting it.
Well, we don't want to keep you from that important appointment that you have at the at the salon. So
seriously, I've never been better treated in my life, and it's free.
Well, Telly, thank you so much for what you're doing this week to help Lutheran Youth Corps get off and running. And thanks for sharing your story with us today of all the great things that are happening there this week with Lutheran Youth Corps. Thanks so much.
God is good. Yep.
Thanks so much. You bet. God's blessings. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to check in with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services Richmond Terrace about benevolent care. Hope you can join us for that conversation. Stick around, listeners. We've got more Faith and Family right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism?
1 in 88.
I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
When you sing because your heart is full, anyone is welcome to join you. Sing for Joy often plays music made by professionals, but it welcomes all the world in every corner to sing along. Don't miss it.
Sundays at noon on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Thursday, August 14th, and we are we're talking with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services. Thursdays, we talk with a lot of friends from Lutheran Senior Services, and Thursday mornings on His Time, we talk with Jane Wilkie. And today, we get to talk with Catrice Bink. She is a senior living counselor at Lutheran Senior Services Richmond Terrace, and joining us in studio today. Catrice, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy. I'm very happy to be here.
It's good to get to talk about what's going on at Lutheran Senior Services, LSS Living, and hear what's going on there. Now, tell us about your work there. What do you do at Lutheran Senior Services Richmond Terrace?
As a senior living counselor at Richmond Terrace, I help families receive care for their elders who are possibly needing assistance. We are assisted living. Mm-hmm. We have 80 individuals at any given time in the community, so we are the smallest community that Lutheran Senior Services has here in the St. Louis area, and we are all assisted living. And basically, we're trying to make life as easy as possible for folks so that they can just kick back and enjoy.
Live life to the fullest.
Absolutely.
So tell us about life there at Richmond Terrace. What are some of what is daily life like at Richmond Terrace?
As a resident at Richmond Terrace, if you come to live with us, your meals are provided for you. We have a beautiful dining room, and our service staff there does a fantastic job serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. We also provide house care. They clean the apartments once a week, do all the laundry once a week, Medication is administered. We have an activity director who keeps everybody entertained. So basically all they have to do is enjoy life. And they're in a setting with their peer group so that they have lots of folks to meet and talk to. They can go on the out trips and go out into the St. Louis community, enjoy the events that are happening in St. Louis, or they can stay there in the community and do things as well. Really, they have a lot of options for whatever they'd like to do to find entertainment. We're also in a great area. Richmond Heights is very forward-thinking when it comes to senior services. The mayor there in Richmond Heights has done a phenomenal job addressing the needs of a growing senior population. And they have actually had a council on aging now for well over a year. They have transportation services for anybody age 60 and over in the city of Richmond Heights, free of charge. They have a beautiful community center that they share with Maplewood. They're on Dale Avenue, which is just a couple of blocks from our community, and they offer various senior services there as well. So we're very supported in the services that we offer for seniors in the Richmond Heights area.
Some of the things you mentioned there about having that support from the community, something just as something that, the rest of us might take for granted, the transportation for anyone, you said, over the age of 60.
Correct. Yes.
Having that support, that what kind of difference does that make in the life of a senior, especially, you know, at Richmond Terrace? What does it mean to have that support, that access?
It makes all the difference in the world. Imagine if you weren't feeling well and you knew you needed to go to the doctor, but you had no way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the city has that service, they can get over to St. Mary's without any issue and get the care that they need. It's tremendous.
Well, I'm thinking even just some of the concerns that come with maintaining a vehicle
in right.
today, the challenges that, you know, maintaining a license, maintaining insurance and all those things, making sure that a car keeps running properly.
And all of that's removed.
Mm-hmm.
All of that's removed. It's all taken care of for you. And we also work with the affordable housing units from Lutheran Senior Services to provide transportation for our residents when we go on out trips out into the community. Our activity director has a wonderful working relationship with them and makes sure that everybody is able to enjoy the various outings that they offer. They are going this month, actually. Their out trip is to the Missouri Botanical Garden, and then they are going down to the Fountain on Locust, and I've already told a couple of the ladies I want a full report when they come back. I've heard the fountain is a pretty neat place to go.
So they stay very active. This isn't a place where you go and everything just kind of slows down and you don't do anything. And
Oh, no.
Our pace might change a little bit, but it's not a stagnant.
Not at all.
Not a stagnant way of
life.
We
mean it when we say living life to the fullest.
Now, we're not skydiving, are we?
No. Well, not unless they want to. But they have a larger percentage of gentlemen coming into assisted living now. We have a very active men's group that meets on Wednesday mornings. They're led by a volunteer through our volunteer coordinator, Pam Gordon, who does a phenomenal job for all of LSS. And every Wednesday morning, they get together, discuss current events, play some cards, play some dominoes, do whatever they want to do. So, yeah, the fellas' numbers are on the rise there at assisted living.
Now, you mentioned a number of things that are included that kind of make up assisted living, supports that happen throughout the day, meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner throughout the day, someone that helps with keeping your residence clean, coming in and cleaning and laundry. I'm thinking, you know, families with small children would probably like this service too, but you don't offer that yet. So
Not yet.
My ears perked up when you said that. Meals and laundry and cleaning.
Yes.
But those are all great services. Are there other things that are characteristic? You mentioned just this, you were describing what sounded to me like a sense of community, having neighbors in close proximity.
It is a sense of community. And one of the benefits of being in a smaller community like that, I think, is that the residents and staff all have the opportunity to get to know each other very well and have deeper relationships. We have wonderful spiritual carers there as well. We have Pastor Bob and Chaplain Amy, who are there every week. They lead several devotional classes and services and do a phenomenal job for our... Actually, I had the privilege of sitting down with a family about a week ago, and we were talking about her possible move into Richmond Terrace. And while we were talking, Pastor Bob came by and talked to her for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, they came back in, and the first thing she said was, "I can't wait to be here to spend time with Pastor Bob." So,
and I had the privilege of talking with both of them, with Pastor Bob and the chaplain Amy.
Yes.
Maybe about a year ago or so. In the last year, we got to talk with them about what they do and their work there at LSS and how important spiritual care is for individuals and at Lutheran Senior Services.
Yes, it is very important. And fortunately for us, they have spiritual care for staff and residents as well, so that everybody has that same opportunity, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's important. Assisted living is, as you've described it, you've painted this picture for us, and I'm looking at some of the pictures on the LSSLiving.org website, and it's so different than what we pictured, you know, the stereotype that we had years ago about our senior years and what they would be like.
Very institutional.
Yeah.
That's the picture you had. Yeah. It's not that at all anymore. The most common comment that we hear as people come into the community for the first time is it's so welcoming and so homey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they enjoy about it, that it just feels like home from the second they hit the door, which is what we're striving for. We want them to feel at home because it's going to be their home if they come there to live. They should be comfortable and be able to relax and enjoy themselves in their own home.
What are some of the questions that come up? You get to meet with people and as they're considering coming to Lutheran Senior Services Richmond Terrace. You get to meet with them and talk with them about making this transition. What are some of the questions that come up along the way as they're making this, you know, considering this big transition
right.
in life?
Well, usually the folks that are coming into assisted living are coming to us because the elder that they're seeking service for needs help.
Mm-hmm.
So the first questions they always ask are, you know, what kind of help are you going to be able to give my mom or dad?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the folks need medication assistance when they come in, which is something that we do for them. We have a pharmacy that we work with, Omnicare Interlock, that works directly with our nurses and the doctor's offices and makes it really seamless for the residents so that they don't have to worry about how they're going to get their prescriptions and everything's delivered directly to the building, to the nursing staff, and then the nursing staff is there to administer everything and make sure that they're taking their medications on time when they need them, which is a huge part of staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Nutrition is often something that they're really struggling with. They're not cooking anymore. They're not eating well. I'll tell you a story. I have a wonderful little fellow who moved in a couple months ago who's kind of very quiet and nonchalant. And the day that he moved in, I said, "Are you nervous? It's your first day." And he said, "Not at all." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Nope." I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "No more TV dinners." So he had his priorities. And that fella is at least 20 minutes early for each meal service. He is very happy to be somewhere where he has a hot meal three times a day. So, but actually, nutrition is the front line of defense against chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important. And a lot of times in assisted living, when we see someone come in, after they've been at home, they've possibly been isolated socially, they come in, they're getting their medication on time, they're eating properly, and their health actually rebounds, which is a huge sense of relief for the family.
Sure. And then there are probably some just emotional changes as well, having the opportunity, as you said, they were isolated before, which can really take a toll on your health.
It can.
Having this opportunity to connect with others, the access to interact with others, especially at meals, I'm sure.
Right. Absolutely. It's very beneficial. And everybody finds their niche. You know, if they're a domino player, if they play Scrabble, if they like music, everybody finds their niche and their little group that they fit in with, and they start participating in the activities that interest them.
Now, I'm sure one of the questions that comes up is, you know, especially when life and health improves, what if I outlive my resources?
That's a huge concern. You know, we live in a miraculous time when there have been major advances in medicine and longevity is a lot more than what it used to be. And we are seeing more and more that people outlive their means. Fortunately, Lutheran Senior Services has benevolent care, and last year spent over $6 million on benevolent care to help the seniors who have outlived their means. And it has a huge impact in the ministry that we do. Mm-hmm. I feel blessed to be a part of that ministry.
Describe for us, benevolent care helps when someone outlives their resources, can no longer pay for it. They're, you know, they've been living at Lutheran Senior Services for, you know, they've been living at Richmond Terrace for a year,
long.
6 years, mm-hmm. however long. And they're still living healthy. They're doing well. But the savings, the retirement, whatever they have, you know, whatever they have set aside for their life is starting to run out or deplete, and they can no longer afford that the lifestyle that they've gotten accustomed to at Richmond Terrace,
mm-hmm.
And the care and the community, all the support that they receive there.
Right.
How does benevolent care take care of that? Does it pay a portion?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We step in at that point and help them pay for the funding that they can no longer pay for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our residents will apply at that point for a Medicaid cash grant.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, it's $292 a month maximum. So Medicaid doesn't do a whole lot to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where LSS steps in. If there's still a gap after the Medicaid cash grant is applied, then we step in and help make up that gap, so that they can still receive the service that they need.
What does this mean for families, as they're, especially for families that have been there for a while, or for the families that are just, you know, making that transition right now? What does it mean to them? I'm sure you've had a chance to see that.
Yeah, the impact is tremendous. I had a family come in last fall. The mother had been there for a while, but they were struggling financially, and they were worried about what was going to happen. What's the next step? And mm-hmm. is she going to have to go somewhere else? They loved Richmond Terrace. She loved the community. And we sat down and started talking about benevolent care. And at one point I looked up and the son had tears in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered him a Kleenex and said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "It's just that I never dreamed that my mother would be able to receive this level of care. I was so afraid that she wouldn't be able to, and she's here." The sense of relief was just huge. And, you know, you've got to, I guess everybody who works in senior services, we all have parents too. I understand. I have a mother. I worry about her all the time. As a matter of fact, she wears a life alert that I got from LSS because I want to know that she's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to know that their parents are well taken care of and well provided for.
Sure.
And when you finally are able to receive the care that they need, it's a huge relief to be able to go home at night and know that they're going to get what they need.
Absolutely. And it's funny how things change, you know, over time. Our parents take care of us when we're small and when we're children and growing up, and they're always concerned about us and making sure that we get the care that we need as children.
Oh, yeah.
And then somewhere along the way, the table turns, and we end up being the one concerned about our parents and checking in on them and making sure that they're okay. And we want to make sure that they receive the care that they need,
right,
in their older years. And so
I guess we get a small taste of what they went through with us.
Right, right. How is it that Lutheran Senior Services can offer benevolent care to the residents who live there at Richmond Terrace and other places as well?
We are always, always fundraising, mm-hmm. to raise money for benevolent care. It's something that goes on year-round in all of our communities. Actually, July was a really busy month for benevolent care. We just had our big LSS golf tournament. We partnered with the Maplewood Chamber of Commerce and Schlafly Bottle Works in Maplewood and had the Toast to Seniors. Other communities, Lickley Groves is getting ready for a trivia night. There's a benevolent brunch out at Breeze Park. Merrimack Bluffs has done art auctions in the past. And Richmond Terrace this Friday is actually doing a spaghetti supper that will be used. 100% of the proceeds will go to benevolent care.
Now, everything except for the art auction involved food, I believe. Trust me, Jane and I have talked about this before. It's always about the food.
We are definitely feeders.
I love to eat. I love to eat. Just ask my wife.
Well, everybody has to eat.
That's true. That's true.
So
everybody needs
hook.
To eat. So this Friday, a spaghetti dinner, spaghetti supper at, mm-hmm. and it, the details, where, what it's, will be going on?
Well, it's this Friday at Richmond Terrace. We're located at 1633 Laclede Station Road. It's from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. In addition to the spaghetti dinner, we're also having a silent auction and raffle. I have had the privilege of working for the last 12 months with the Maplewood Chamber of Commerce, and they have just come to my aid and supported this phenomenally. And the things that we will have for the silent auction, it's going to be fantastic. If you're familiar at all, we're talking about food here. Mm-hmm. Cacao chocolate in downtown Maplewood. Oh, yeah. We have a $100 tasting from them as part of the silent auction. That alone is worth the cost of admission, folks. Chocolate makes the world go around.
Yeah, and they do a great job. Yeah,
yes, Cacao they do.
Is right there. There are a lot of great businesses
there
right
are.
There in that area.
And a lot of them, Bomb Foss has donated, Giselle's French Boutique, The Post Sports Bar and Grill, Boogaloo, which is a Cajun restaurant and bar. Just the list goes on and on. We have Cardinal baseball tickets.
Wow.
So there'll be all kinds of stuff to win.
How neat. And so that's coming up Friday, August 15th, tomorrow.
Yes.
6 to 8 p.m. Where is this taking place?
It's actually at Richmond Terrace. It will be in our Terrace Cafe. So when you come in the main entrance, we're right there as you walk in through the main lobby. And Richmond Terrace, that section of Laclede Station Road is close to Hanley and 40.
Okay.
In that area right there. The cost is $10 for adults. Mm-hmm. $5 for children age 5 and under. And we can do to-go orders as well. So if you don't have time to stay, but you'd like to pick up dinner on the way home, you don't want to have to cook on Friday night,
yeah.
you can stop by and pick up a to-go order and take it on home to your family. It's spaghetti, a big Italian salad, garlic bread, and cannolis.
Cannolis?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, my goodness. I worked at a bakery when I was in high school, and they made the best cannolis. Oh.
Well, yeah. You can't be in St. Louis and have the Hill here and not know about cannolis.
Yeah.
And we have sponsors from the Hill as well. Herbaria Soap has donated a big sampler pack for the silent auctions.
So. Man, they do some good stuff too. Well, you certainly have, you do have a lot of support from the community, and that's important. But it takes that support and from folks like our listeners to, it takes people to come to the spaghetti dinner.
Absolutely. Somebody has to come and win.
Somebody's got to come and win. Somebody's got to come eat some spaghetti. You brought up a good point. If you're on your way home and you can't stop for dinner, but you want to pick up some dinner to take with you, take dinner home for the family, just stop and pick up a couple of spaghetti dinners for the family and
you
can still
to do so.
Support benevolent care, which is... you never know. I mean, it may, in the end up supporting someone that you know, someone that you love.
It very well could.
Yeah.
It very well could. We're all going in the same direction. Everybody gets older. There's no fountain of youth, so.
Good point. Other things going on at Richmond Terrace. And now you get to take, after this big event, you get to kind of breathe a little bit.
A little bit. But we'll be going into the holiday season. Actually, there's a lot of stuff coming up for the residents and their families at Richmond Terrace in September. We have our big fall family gathering. It's an annual event, and the whole staff comes together. We have a big barbecue. The residents invite their families in. There's entertainment, and they just spend the day together in fellowship.
Sounds like fun. Now, it sounds to me that you probably have now an extended family by being connected to Richmond Terrace.
Absolutely. Well, and to LSS in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenal organization to be a part of, and there is support from all the other communities anytime that we're working to do something, for whether it's for benevolent care or for a family that needs help. Oftentimes, if a family comes in to see us, and during the course of talking to that family, we realize that assisted living is not appropriate, then we reach out to the other communities to look into skilled care or memory care or possibly to home health. so that they can receive the services they need at home because they're not quite ready to make that transition into a community. We can help them stay at home longer as well.
Hmm. All great resources. If someone wants to find out let's go back to the spaghetti dinner tomorrow, the spaghetti supper. If they are interested in that, they can RSVP if they want to do that, give
Absolutely.
You a heads up.
It's 314-646-8000. And just call and let us know that you're coming, and we'll be glad to have it ready for you. Or if you want to call and let us know that you'd like to pick up an order, we can do that too.
That'll help out too. Yeah, if you're planning on picking up an order, 314-646-8000. You can call Katri or Patty.
Correct.
And let them know that you're coming tomorrow for the spaghetti dinner, for the spaghetti supper. $10 per person for adults, $5 for...
children 5 and under.
Well, that's easy. 5 for 5 and under.
There you go.
Very good. And just always stuff going on at Richmond Terrace. Always great things happening
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Right after that will be our Christmas party, mm-hmm. which is, again, an opportunity for the residents to have their... families come in to join them, and we are blessed at Richmond Terrace to have a chef who was a pastry chef before he came to us.
Oh, no.
You haven't experienced Christmas till you've been to one of our Christmas parties. There are banquet tables lined all the way along the walls in the dining room, and he bakes for a week straight before we have the party, and any kind of baked confection you can possibly think of, it's there. It's like walking into Willy Wonka's. It's just incredible. He does a phenomenal job at bringing holiday spirit alive at Richmond Terrace for our residents and their families.
Is that the reason for the cannolis, too?
Well, yeah.
You all know how to do food right.
Absolutely. We have a running joke. They always talk about the freshman 15 when kids leave to go to college. It happens again when you come into a community.
It's not just a fundraiser. Oh, well, it certainly is a good cause. You can support benevolent care at LSS, Lutheran Senior Services, Richmond Terrace, tomorrow, Friday, August 15th, 6 to 8 p.m. Also a chance to come onto the campus and see Richmond Terrace and get an idea of what Richmond Terrace is all about, what Lutheran Senior Services is all about.
See the community and meet some of the residents.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity to kind of get your feet wet and check out senior living.
Absolutely. Great opportunity. Directions. Where is it located? Richmond Terrace is located where?
1633 Laclede Station Road. We're right down from the corner of Laclede Station and Dale Avenue. If you're coming from Highway 40,
mm-hmm.
or if you were coming up Hanley Road from the other side, it would be Laclede Station and Bruno, which... there's a Walmart right there on Hanley, and Bruno runs down along the side of that Walmart and comes back to Laclede Station.
And if you're coming from 44 from the south?
You'd get off at the Laclede Station Road exit, mm-hmm. and Laclede Station turns into Hanley. You'll see the Walmart on the right-hand
gotcha.
Side, and just as you pass it, you'd turn right onto Bruno.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been talking with Katri Spink. She's the senior living counselor at Lutheran Senior Services Richmond Terrace. Katri, thanks so much for sharing this story and your stories and about this event with us today here on Faith and Family.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
You bet. God's blessings and all the fun that you're going to have, I know, tomorrow at that fundraiser with all that spaghetti and the cannolis. Save me a cannoli.
You got it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Thy Strong Word right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO. Hope you can join us as we get into studying God's Word this morning right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.